Welcome to the MVC Screencast Series, Using ASP.NET MVC with Community Tools. Brandon Satram here, and this is Episode 8 on MVC Scaffolding. This and other screencasts from the MVC series are available at bit.ly/MVC screencasts. You've no doubt heard the term scaffolding thrown around lately, especially in the .NET space. Simply put, scaffolding is a form of metaprogramming and code generation which enables you to define application assets automatically using a model object, for instance a .NET class file, as a point of reference. Scaffolding takes many of the repetitive tasks around creating and modifying your data model and creating the supporting controllers and views and performs those tasks on your behalf. Scaffolding was popularized by Ruby on Rails, which features the ability to quickly generate database code, controllers, and views based on an existing model. Combined with built-in migration support, scaffolding in Rails enables a convention-based approach for managing your underlying database and your application throughout a project. Scaffolding helps Rails developers get up and running with the new applications quickly, so how cool would it be if we had something similar in the .NET space? Luckily, we do. A package from Microsoft's Steve Sanderson called MVC Scaffolding. MVC Scaffolding, currently at version 0.99 at the time of this recording, provides many great scaffolding features in one NuGet package. To use it, all you need to do is define a model in code. Then, after installing MVC Scaffolding via NuGet, you'll have access to a series of PowerShell commands that you can use from the Package Manager console to create controllers, views, and more for your models. Let's start by installing MVC Scaffolding in an application called Faceplan, a site which allows people to interact with and provide feedback to a speaker in real time during his or her presentation. So the first thing that we're going to do is install MVC Scaffolding. And you notice that I've got the Package Manager console open up right here. And I've opened it up at the top of the screen just so you can see everything that's going on. We're going to be in this console a lot over these demos. So I'll type in install package, MVC Scaffolding. Now there was an older package at one point called MVC Scaffold. Make sure that that's not the one you add. So you'll notice that MVC Scaffolding went and grabbed a bunch of dependencies. T4 Scaffolding, which is sort of the base scaffolding engine that MVC Scaffolding is built around. Entity Framework 4.1, so that's Entity Framework Code First. That ships as a part of MVC Scaffolding. There's an assumption that you're using MVC Framework to use MVC Scaffolding. You can use it with other ORMs, but you need to create your own scaffolders to do that, and that's something that Steve Sanderson covers in depth in his blog. We're also getting, and once we've got that, Entity Framework and T4 Scaffolding, we can get MVC Scaffolding, and those references are added in. Now, MVC Scaffolding by default uses SQL Express. If you want to use SQL CE, like I'm going to do today, you need to install another package, and it's EF Code First, SQL Server Compact. So I'm going to use SQL Compact. It's going to grab that as well. And once that has been added, that's also going to add an app start, a database initializer for me. So SQL Compact goes and grabs EF Code First. It grabs Web Activator. It has a lot of its own dependencies, so it goes and grabs those things and pulls those into my project as well. Once I've got that, I want to go into App Start, which is created when I add SQL Server Compact to this project. I'm going to open up the App Start, and I need to comment out this Set Initializer call right here, and that's actually what's going to create the database for me. And you could keep create CE database if none exists, but in this case what I actually want to do is call drop create. We're going to be adding some things over the course of this demo, so I want to do drop create database if model changes. So every time we do an underlying model change, I'm going to drop the database. Of course, while I'm scaffolding, I'm expecting a lot of things to change. I shouldn't be creating data at this point that I'm going to need to hang on to. Right now, my migration strategy is just to keep regenerating the database while I'm going through the scaffolding. Really, scaffolding is just adding boilerplate code that I otherwise would have to be adding manually. So once I get to that point, then I need to bring in a better or my actual migration strategy at this point. So I'm going to do faceplant.models.faceplant.context. That's going to be actually auto-created for me by the scaffolder in just a moment. I'm going to go ahead and add that now so that I don't need to come back in here. So I have a series of objects in Faceplant Core here. I have response, session, speaker, and tag. These are the four objects that I'm starting my project off with. The session is a session that has a name, a date, a location. It has a tag that's associated with it, and a set of responses. A tag is just a topic. A response is a response entered by a user. So these are the things that I'm going to scaffold out automatically right now. The first thing that I'm going to do is I'm going to start with the associated objects and end with the session. You don't have to. Obviously, I'm going to do all these things in sequence. But in order to use MVC scaffolding, first thing that I'm going to type in is scaffold controller. And that's my base command to scaffold a new controller. I'm going to give it the controller name. In this case, I'm going to actually give it the name of the model that I'm scaffolding off of. And so it's scaffold controller tag. I'm going to enter that. So you'll notice in the console here that a database context was added for me. There was a tags object added to that context. I got a new controller, and then I got a series of views. You also notice that in my SQL CE Entity Framework class now, this call to faceplant.models.faceplantContext is valid. That's the context I created. We can close that since we're not going to need that again. We can take a look at faceplantContext created in the models, and that just adds a DB set. This is what you would be doing yourself if you were doing Entity Framework code first. Creates a tag object, just adds a tags DB set, and then from there creates a new controller for me. Pluralizes that name, so it creates a tags controller. That's by convention. Creates the index, details, create, post create, edit, post edit, delete, and post delete. And then you'll notice that inside of here, it's using the Entity Framework context and making calls against my ORM directly. So that's something that I'm going to look at changing in just a moment, but for now, that's how that auto creates that for me. So now I'm going to go and create the sessions controller and the response controller. So now that all these have been added, you'll notice that I have all my responses types, all my sessions types, I have my views, I have a new controller as well. Those have been added to my context, and I can run the site. So I'm going to come to the home page for my faceplant application. I can click on topics, which points to my tags controller, and create a new topic. We'll call this one, or tag, we'll call this one MVC. Create it. It's created now. Go to the sessions page, and now we can go and create a new session. Click create new, and fill out the form. Choose our tag of MVC, click create. Once that saves, we return to the list. We have our session. So we've got topics and sessions, tags and sessions all lined up. Now, I mentioned earlier that data access by default is inside of my controllers, and I don't want to use that. I prefer to use the repository pattern. So in MVC scaffolding, there's an option for me to do that as well. So I can type in scaffold controller session, and then I can type in the repository flag, and then type in force. And you can type in the repository flag at the beginning, and that'll work if you haven't scaffolded this yet. But scaffolding, by default, won't overwrite your existing DB context, your existing views and actions and controllers, unless you actually specify explicitly force it to do so. So I can type that in, hit enter, and you'll notice that that creates a new repository for me. It's also going to create an interface that it embeds inside that repository file. You can extract that out, of course, if you want. But it creates that. It goes back in through your controller and removes all of that code, points directly to the repository instead, and then it goes through and recreates all of your views. Now, once that's done, I'll go ahead and create repositories for response and for tag as well. And you'll notice now I have this response repository, session repository, and tag repository. So if you go in there and look at those now, at the bottom of each file, that's going to create an interface for me that allows me to call all including, find, insert or update, delete, and save. And that uses the same interface for all of the repositories that I created. And then it puts that code in here. And then inside of the actual controller itself, now you notice, and we'll go into tag here, that it actually is now calling tag repository.find, tag repository.delete. So refactors and extracts that code out for me automatically, which is pretty sweet. Now let's say I want to go ahead and create a new action. Inside of my sessions controller, I want to create a search action so that a user can pass parameters to search for a session, and then I'll return them the results that way. So I'm going to show you a couple of new things here. One is how to call scaffold action. So instead of scaffolding entire controllers, because that's going to overwrite your changes every time, and you'll want to keep this in mind as you move forward with your project. You're going to go and create this boilerplate scaffolding at first, and then you're going to go in and start making changes to your controllers, tweaking things to your liking, to your own development patterns. and then you're going to decide I need a new action. So you can actually step down to the action level and scaffold an individual action without overriding everything and forcing the regeneration and losing some of your work. So I'm going to say scaffold action, and I'm going to specify the controller name. This time I'm pluralizing it because I'm not basing that on the model. When I type in scaffold controller, I'm passing in the model name, which is session. When I type in scaffold action or scaffold view, I need to actually pass in the controller, drop the word controller on the end, and just pass in the pluralized controller name, which in this case is sessions. Type in the name of the action, which is going to be search, and then I'm also going to use with view model. In this case, because I'm going to be populating a search form, I want to make sure that I provide not just a search view, not just the session, but a view model itself. And so what's going to happen at that point is MVC scaffolding is going to create that action. It's going to create the view for me, and it's also going to create a view model that represents that view. So you'll notice now that MVC scaffolding does a couple of things for me here. Inside of models, it creates this new object called the search view model. And I'm going to add my own properties there. I could have the session collection. This is where I would bring in any reference data like locations, conferences, ratings, things like that for my actual search form, things that I'm going to use to populate that search form. I'm going to add an action method to my sessions controller. I'll pull that open here. In my search action, which returns a new instance of my search view model, and then it goes and creates that search.cshtml view for me at the same time. Now, if for some reason you need to get even more granular than that, you can also type in scaffold view and pass in a controller name. So let's say I actually want to create a contact page for my home controller, and I can pass in that name there. So scaffold view home contact, that's going to actually go into my home views folder and create a new contact.cshtml page. Now I don't have an action for that, so that's not going to work unless I'm using a framework like MVC Turbine, which gives me the ability to use inferred actions without having to explicitly define those things. But that's another option that you can use inside of MVC scaffolding as well. Now let's talk a little bit about relationships, and in particular one-to-many relationships. Inside of my model here, I have a session, and I also have a speaker. And every session, the assumption is that every session, in this case at least, has one speaker. I'm not supporting multiple speakers yet, just a single speaker. And so I have the speaker object defined, but I want to actually associate it with my session. And not only that, but allow MVC scaffolding to generate the right association so that when I create a new session, I get a drop-down list of available speakers on my form. Without me having to do any trickery to make that happen. So I have the speaker class with the name speaker ID and name. I notice here instead of using ID, I've used the name speaker ID. That's one of the conventions that MVC scaffolding is going to look for. So I can actually create this association without doing anything else just by saying public int speaker ID and using the same convention of ID back to my speaker object itself. I'll scaffold out the speaker controller. So scaffold. And once that's done, I'm going to re-scaffold the session controller as well. So then I can rebuild and rerun the site. And now I'll go to the speakers page, create a new speaker, let's choose myself, create that speaker for me. We can go back into the sessions page and create a new session. You notice now that I have the speaker dropdown, my name is in that dropdown. I can click create. And it saves that new session for me. But you'll notice that my name is actually not here. So the speaker column has not been populated automatically. And the reason for that is because I've really only created an instance of the ID here in order to look up on create. In order to actually do more than that, in order to create the full association so that MVC scaffolding knows enough to tell Entity Framework how to treat the relationship between these two objects, I need to create a virtual speaker object, an instance of the actual type itself, and make it virtual to enable lazy loading. And then on the speaker, because this is one to many, I need to create an instance of virtual iCollection of sessions. So that'll create a two-way relationship for me that allows those entities to fully play nice together. And then I'm going to go and re-scaffold both of these, speaker and then session. Now I can build and run the site again. I'll go back in and create another session. Save that. Now when I'm redirected to the home page, I'll see myself as the speaker. And then when I click on the speakers page, I'll see a reference back on the speaker list of how many sessions that I've signed up for. Now let's briefly look at using MVC scaffolding to scaffold our unit tests for us. Now, inside of my sessions controller, let's say I've created a new action here and I don't have the test for it yet. Shame on me, but I want to go ahead and scaffold that out so that I can go in and make sure the references are correct and then go and create that myself. So I can type in a simple command, scaffold unit test, give it the name of the controller and then the name of the action. So I can do that for create. Now, if you don't have a controller, a test class yet for that controller, it's going to create that for you, and then it's going to create that appropriate test method. So it looks for a test project that has the same name as your solution. In this case, you'll see sessions controller test here. It's created that, and it went ahead and created the create test for me. Now notice that it doesn't create the assertions, it doesn't create the action. The scaffolding was really meant to create the boilerplate for you. It's not going to write your test for you, but it will scaffold out the test that you do need to write, which is a nice way to do it if you're not actually writing your tests first. If you want to do the same thing with your post-create methods, by convention you can actually just type in create post. It'll pull off the end of that and create that create post test for you as well. You'll see that after that's finished running, it goes and creates that post test for me as well. And then I can go in and add my assertions. Now, one of the nice features of MVC scaffolding is that if you want to override any of the default scaffolders and replace those with different implementations, either those provided within the package or yourself, you have the option to do so. So let's actually take this unit test scaffolder and have that replace the default action scaffolder. So in order to determine what my default scaffolder is, I can type get default scaffolder and then the alias that I'm looking for. In this case, the alias is action. And that's going to show me that my current scaffolder is MVC scaffolding.action. That's the one that comes default. So I can change that instead to use the unit test scaffolder, so the one that creates unit tests every time. And so in this case, I can type set default scaffolder action MVC scaffolding.action with unit test. And then I run that, and I'm going to run that against my sessions controller and the search action. So I'm going to force create that as before. And then once I execute that command, you'll notice what's different this time is that it creates that unit test class if it doesn't exist in that test method for me as well at the end. So it's a nice way to be able to add your unit tests along your development process as you're really creating all this boilerplate code with MVC scaffolding. That's it for this episode. To learn more about MVC scaffolding, check out mvcscaffolding.codeplex.com. To install MVC scaffolding in your application, get it via the NuGet package installer or type install package MVC scaffolding in the package manager console window in Visual Studio. Coming up in future episodes, we'll dive into AutoMapper, MVC Turbine, Knockout.js, and finally Shode and Mockyou to close out the series. And of course, this and other screencasts are always available for on-demand viewing and downloading at bit.ly/mvcscreencast. I hope this has been helpful. If you have comments or questions, feel free to contact me via email, at my blog, or on Twitter. Thanks for watching.